welcome to a British wrestling special of Broken but Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me as ever, I've got the mouth of the South, Nick Davey. How you doing this evening, Mick?
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. I took the kids to, well, Isaac to his first ever wrestling event at the weekend. It was really fun.
So. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it's good. Really good fun. It was a Wrestle Island show in Birkenhead. It's headlined by Bubblegum and Drew Parker.
Yeah, I saw you had a picture of Bubblegum, yeah.
Yeah, he's a really lovely bloke. Wish I could have got
him. Did he come out to Dizzy Rascal, just a rascal?
I can't remember what he came out to. That was a really fun match. Them two are class.
He's good lad.
There was a really fun spot where Bubblegum grabbed Drew's arms and went down the line, and all the kids were chopping him. They were all doing it nice and lightly. Then Joel went dead hard on his chest. And Bubblegum went ooh. Another wrestling legend Keith Meyer was there, tag team of his son. Against a team called The Rejected, who were basically a cruiserweight version of The Ascension. It was a fun match. It was good that Keith was putting over the younger talent. The guys on the undercard were all pretty green, but they all have fun characters. There was one standout called Sean Only. I'd recommend catching him on YouTube, or if you see him at events, you can see him. So, but thanks everyone who listened to our SummerSlam review. If you enjoy our shows, please follow us on Twitter. It's at BBGW pod, and tonight's show we'll be discussing the top 10 Brits in the PWI 500, and the top 5 Brits who have won championships in the WWE, and then the future of the UK championship and the British strong style. And joining us for this journey, we have author of One Man's Exploration into British Wrestling and A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Man, Oliver Newman. How you doing this evening, Oliver?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks guys, how are you?
I'm really well. So, how long have you been a wrestling fan?
I've been a wrestling fan for just over 26 years now.
So it's probably about the same as me. We got Sky just after Survivor Series 91, so my first proper event was Royal Rumble 92, I think, when Ric Flair won the Rumble.
Yeah, I remember that for myself. It was SummerSlam 91, and I remember vividly watching Mr. Perfect versus my favourite all-time wrestler, Bret the Hitman Hart, for the Intercontinental title, and that's what made me a fan.
Have you ever heard a period where you've been a Laps fan?
No, because even when I wasn't happy with the content WWE was putting out, I found independent wrestling in the form of Ring of Honor and on the British wrestling scene as well.
Yeah, so in your book, Fans' Perspective, What a Year to Be WWE. Could you let the listeners know what they should expect from the book?
Basically, it's a journey through last year's WWE pay-per-views, NXT takeovers, Great Classic, and network specials. So WWE Roadblocks from March is in there as well.
And in the book, you do an alternative Mania 32 card. What were some of the changes you want to make?
It wasn't actually like a Mania 32 card in full. It was basically Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns and Triple H.
Yeah.
And I had Roman Reigns and Triple H as an ODQ match. I switched it to Dean Ambrose up on the Roadblock pay-per-view and made it. I think it was going to be Brock Lesnar against Dean Ambrose for the title.
Yeah. Like, they could have made Dean Ambrose versus Brock a lot better. Apparently, Brock wasn't up for it on the day or something. I've heard Dean Ambrose had lots of ideas, but he just wasn't listening to him and saying onto a bit of a squash, didn't it? So.
Well, that was a disappointment from that WrestleMania, really. With the build with Foley and with Funk, you know, getting Dean Ambrose to go back to his old ways when he was John Mox, that looked like it could really good, but when the match actually happened, it's a good match. It just our expectations were obviously higher, and it definitely didn't live up to them.
So we'll come on to your other book later in the show. So, but we'll start with the top 10 Brits that made the PWI 500. So the list is based on work done between June 16 and June 17. And the 10th Brit who came at number 145 was Jack Gallagher. So he made it to the second round of the Cruiserweight Classic, losing to Tozawa. He made his Royal Rumble debut. He challenged for the Cruiserweight title at Fastlane, losing to Neville. And he also challenged for the UK title on NXT, losing to Tyler Bate. Do you think it's well-deserved to be so high in the top 150?
I love Jack Gallagher, to be honest. He's just so fun and so entertaining. And then steps in the ring, he can go with the best of them. So I'm not sure what the PWI 500 means nowadays. But you know, I'm not sure if 145 is a great number for him. I think maybe he should be higher, based on fun, entertainment, wrestling skill, emotionally invested in matches. You know, Jack Gallagher's one of the best of two of live, and he's one of the best in WWE.
He's probably got the best headbutt in the business, I think. So that should be his finishing move.
That headbutt is brutal.
Nick, what are your thoughts on Jack Gallagher?
Yeah, no, I remember watching my first ever indie show, and Jack Gallagher was there wrestling Johnny Kidd, obviously a well-known wrestler in the English business as well. From the minute one, I thought he was added a bit of comedy. It was certainly very fun, so in the words, extraordinary. But no, I like everything about Jack. I love his wrestling theme. I like his style and everything. Don't like him coming out of an umbrella, though, because I think Marty Scurll's in when he should have the umbrella in the wrestling business. I loved his little cameo in the Royal Rumble as well. I thought that was class. And I'd like to see him. That's why I don't really like that the Cruiserweight be so shut off from the main roster, because I think he'd have a few good matches as well. I think he'd just add a good comedy act as well to the main roster itself, and I think he'd have a position there for life. But also, I think, not just having a comment, I think you'd also have a good run with one of maybe the mid-card belts as well. As I say, I think he's got definitely a good 10 years or so left in the business of him.
Yeah, number 9 was Magnus, or Nick Holness. He was the GFW champion when Global Force merged with TNA earlier this year. He then lost it to Alberto Del Rio. I can't find much about what he's done on the indies since. From what I've seen of him, I do like him. I'm surprised maybe that he didn't join NXT maybe when Nikki joined last year or earlier this year.
I think in that instance, for myself, I didn't really watch GFW Impact until Scott D'Amore and Dutch Mantel,
yeah,
kind of, and obviously Jeff Jarrett as well, come back into the company. So I haven't seen too much of Magnus.
I haven't seen him for... I thought he was brilliant and probably 3 years ago, but I haven't seen much of him recently. I'm quite surprised he's so high on the list, in top 100.
Yeah.
So.
In all honesty, in that situation, you look at 10 and 9, and based on what's happened recently, you would think it would be the other way around.
It's number 8 is Drew Galloway stroke Drew McIntyre. McIntyre. Oliver, you saw Drew at a ICW event last year.
Yeah, he was a surprise. As in, a match was happening, and he came out and attacked after the match, and then he took his hood down, and the crowd went crazy.
Yeah.
Always had a lot of time for Drew McIntyre back when he was the chosen one in his first run with WWE. He has all the tools, really. The height, the build, the skill, his in-ring promo before NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 against Bobby Roode was fantastic. That's a guy that when he goes back onto the WWE main roster, he's definitely got an opportunity to main event this time around.
Mm. So he's had an amazing year, so even his work in the indies with the likes of What Culture, which I really like. I liked him when he was with What Culture, to his return to NXT and winning the title last month. So.
Well, I was going to say, in terms of not necessarily for this PWI, but he put companies on his back in the, Evolve was one of them. He was just, I'm not sure if it sorry, just working with Gabe Sapolsky, and he was the champion, yeah. And he would defend that title around the world. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that led to this NXT opportunity, and he's kind of grasped it all with both hands. So, yeah, he's going to be, you know, big in terms of, yeah, he'll be NXT champion, I'm sure. Oh, sorry, he is NXT champion.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he'll be back on the main roster before we know it.
At number 7 was Tyler Bate, but we're going to discuss more of the British Strong Style later on the show, so I'll just list his achievements this year. So he's he won the WWE United Kingdom Championship Tournament earlier this year. He was the inaugural WWE United Kingdom Champion. He was Shikihara King of Trios with Pete Dunne and Trent Seven. He was the WXW Shotgun Champion in October last year. Progress Tag Team Champion with Trent Seven, and the Relentless Division Championship in Kamikaze Pro, and the Attack Pro Wrestling 24/7 Champion. So he's done a lot in the last year. So. Number 6 is Mark Haskins. Nick?
A big fan of Haskins. Whilst I think he's still got a fair bit to do on the mind, he endeavour to progress into major companies.
Mm.
He is a class wrestler, really is. So he's probably, up until I watched Jeff Cobb versus Matt Riddle earlier this year at Progress, it was probably one of the best live matches I've ever seen live, second best for sure, him versus Gargano at Chapter 32 at Progress for the Smash Wrestling title.
Yeah.
But he's just a class wrestler, high flying, but he's also got an aggressive side to certainly at the moment we're seeing that aggressive side with his feud with Jimmy Havoc at the moment, obviously going to Progress this Sunday at Alexander Palace. And it's him versus Havoc in a death match.
Yeah.
So it's a different side that we're seeing Haskins as well at the moment. I don't mean to sound like a commentator analysing Bo Dallas every 2 months or so when he comes back on the main roster. But no, I think he's got all the tools, Haskins. So I think just the mic work, if he was to go into a major promotion, that could maybe do with a bit of help there. But no. Overall, I mean, this guy's talented, and I think sky's the limit for his ring talent. So he nearly had a nasty scare as well, because last October he had to relinquish the Progress title for injury.
Yeah.
He actually returned earlier than expected. He returned on the in January, I believe, at the Progress show. Late January, I think it was on the same day as the Royal Rumble. The Progress show, the same day as the Royal Rumble. So, he's a talent, and he's talented.
In the research for the show, I actually watched his match against Marty Scurll and Tommy End, who's now Aleister Black, where he won the Progress title. It was an amazing match.
That was class. Him versus Scurll. Yeah, no, that was brilliant. One of my favourite ever live matches. I know that was also because I'm a big fan of ref bumps.
Mm.
Shocking returns, everything. So it really did have everything, that main event there. I think as a sub, I would not be disappointed to see him return to WWE. I would like to see him push into WWE or anything like that. However, say his mic works has got to be a bit more better, I think.
Number 5 was Marty Scurll. He's had an amazing run since he's put on the villain persona. Oliver, have you ever seen Marty Scurll live?
I saw him when he was Party Marty. so, yeah, exactly. I saw him at IPW UK show in 2009.
Yeah.
And I saw him be eliminated really quickly. And I was, you know, left scratching my head, really, thinking this guy's supremely talented. You know, why allowing another wrestler to go further in the tournament than him. He said that to him on the phone, you know, on the Monday after the show. In terms of how he's, you know, revolutionised his character and the evolution, it all makes sense in all honesty. You know, the change in the villain, and then the character's amazing. The in-ring skills are always there. And I watched his match against Will Ospreay from High Stakes, and that was just incredible.
Yeah, now he's a member of the Bullet Club. I think the sky's the limit for this guy. I think the WWE seem to like people who join the Bullet Club. So we could see them in a couple of next year or two.
It's really good because he deserves it, in all honesty. He's always been somebody who's worked really hard and he worked with this character. He's done different, he's done Take Me Out, hasn't he? And he was on British Boot Camp, and then became the villain. Now he's joined Bullet Club, ROH television champion. It's just amazing, and I hope to see him in NXT in the near future.
It's number four was Pete Dunne. Again, as with Bate, I'll just list his achievements because we'll be talking about him in the next part. He's the current WWE United Kingdom champion, beating Tyler Bates and possibly Match of the Year contender. Current Progress World Champion, Nick?
Yep. I'm currently wearing his shirt as well.
Current Destiny World Champion, and he's also the current Attack Pro Wrestling 24/7 Champion. He's also had... In September last year, he was Progress Tag Team Champion of Trent Seven. He's Shikara King of Trios with Bate and Seven again. September last year, he was WXW Shotgun Champion, Rev Pro British Cruiserweight Champion for 6 months last year, and made it to the finals of the UK Championship tournaments. So, amazing year for Pete Dunne. We'll talk about it more in the next bit. Number three was Jack Sabre Jr., number 26. So, came to most people's attention, or WWE fans, when he made the semi-final of the Cruiserweight Championship. His nickname to Zaki Three Belts, because he held the Revolve, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and British Heavyweight Championship all at the same time. So, what do you think of Zack Sabre Jr.?
He's quality, isn't he?
I
think he's quality. He's a WWE superstar, really, isn't he? He's just not in WWE. He could easily go to WWE now and be absolutely fine there. I think WWE did want him. This is from what I gather after having a chat. I mean, obviously, it's hard to tell what they can say, if they're telling the truth or not, but when I spoke to him before the first day of the Super Strong Style Progress Tournament, just had a little chat, because it was early doors, so he was selling merch and everything, bought a shirt, but he was saying that apparently, because I said the WWE, and he goes, yeah, but he just wasn't interested, he doesn't want to commit to the mad WWE schedule, I think he alluded it to us, and I think that's what obviously we see all the time, obviously, how grueling that schedule is. I think he's made it clear that that's not where he wants to go, but he could easily go there, but he has just awesome matches all the time. I mean, you can go in any promotion, he'll put on an amazing match. I don't think I've ever seen him have a boring match. One of my favourite matches I've ever seen him wrestle was against Tommaso Ciampa in a 2-out-of-3-falls match at Brixton last year at Progress.
Yeah.
That was awesome. So, no, he's quality.
Yeah, Zack Sabre Jr. is amazing. And, you said about mentioning and talking about my debut book. So, in terms of my thoughts, he's been an amazing wrestler since 2007. And I can add more to that when we talk my book about British wrestling.
Yep. All right. Number two was Will Ospreay. He's had 2 5-star matches in the last year for the Wrestling Observer. First one in September, where he teamed with Matt Sydal and Ricochet to take on Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. And then again in June this year against Kitashi. Sorry. Couldn't think of his name. Then he also had a excellent series of matches with Ricochet, and he made the What Culture World Cup final, losing to Kushida. Was it this year where Vader had a go at him? Was it?
Vader, Autumn.
It was last year for Vader, Chris.
Yeah, it was him and Ricochet, and he said it was more like a ballet than it was a wrestling match.
Yeah. But people just need to understand there's different variations of wrestling matches, and it doesn't matter if it's your cup of tea. I mean, death matches aren't for me. I'm more of a technical wrestling fan, to be honest, but I respect the guys and girls that put themselves through the violence and the and and everything that goes with that, really.
Mm.
I respect it. I don't like it as a technical wrestling fan, but I'm not going to have a go at somebody before doing that style of wrestling because it isn't my cup of tea. It's each to their own. That's one of the best things about wrestling. You can watch any style of wrestling, and whether you like it or not, I think the key thing is to just respect it.
Right, and then number one was the King of the Cruiserweights, me and Neville. He was up 66 places from last year, and he was number 11, so he's the only Brit to make the top 20, I think. Yep. So what year he's had since coming back from injury, he's revolutionised the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
It's, who knew he could talk based on the 2 years before his injury?
He's been one of the best, I think, one of the best, if not the best, superstars of the year. I think he's been class, yeah, since he's returned. He said himself, he's come back as a proper, not just a heel, but a badass heel as well. And to be fair, he's in good shape as well, isn't he? Like, he's actually, despite being a midget, I mean, you wouldn't really want to go with him in a bar or a spa, would you? With his body's got and everything. I think I'll be class. I'll see on the mic and everything. His matches, his feuds. I love his feud with Aries.
Who would have thought with a feud with Austin Aries, he'll come up on top in all
the
promos?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. I think overall he's a quality wrestler.
I couldn't agree more. When he made his return at Roadblock and he shocked the world by attacking Rich Swann, and then from there he's been the king of the cruiserweights. You know, like everyone's been saying, how to watch 205 Live, what would make people watch 205 Live?
Yeah.
I've got an idea when I run by you guys, tell me what you think. To make it Neville versus Johnny Gargano.
Wasn't Gargano meant to be part of 205 Live? But then the tag team took off and he kept them in NXT, I think. But I'd love to see that match.
Because I'm thinking in terms of, you want a hero against a villain. There's no one on the WWE roster, at least in NXT, that can touch Gargano as somebody the fans are so behind. So if you want to get people to watch 205 Live, I like the show. I watch it every week. So it isn't me in this instance. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get people to watch 205 Live, Neville versus Gargano.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I watch it every week. I think they do need to freshen up the roster a little bit because it seems like the same 8 guys wrestling the same 3 matches every week. But yeah, definitely. Bring Ciampa and Gargano in, I reckon.
What do you think, Nick?
We'll bring in Gargano and Tommaso into the Cruiserweight division.
Well, Ciampa's injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think when he returns, though, I was listening to this on the gym on the Tuesday Night Draw with Jim Spain up actually earlier on the train home. They were saying about how good that feud's going to be, and I think that will be immense on NXT. I wouldn't be surprised even. I'd happily have that headline the NXT going into the WrestleMania weekend for the title, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's my personal point. And some people might think I'm absolutely deluded. I think that would be an awesome match. I think that would be great.
But isn't Ciampa injured and not coming back to next year, though, Nick?
He's due back around the Royal Rumble, I think.
Yeah, that's what I heard. He's kind of dealing with at least 2 or 3 different injuries that needed surgery.
But yeah, I mean, with that, I think they can keep the story on going, though, because we saw, obviously, in the match at Brooklyn with the shirt getting thrown in the ring. I think they need to keep doing stuff like that, just having a flashbacks of, I'd not say Johnny should lose every match till Tommaso returns, but even on NXT's, have just sort of visions of him seeing Tommaso, even like Tommaso's pictures appearing on the screen, maybe. Just stuff like that. I think that feud, I'm just so excited to see how good that feud will be. I think it'll be, as I say, I think that could be one of the best NXT feuds potentially of all time.
I don't disagree with that at all, Nick. Yeah,
but I'm not beating about the bush. I got into indie wrestling only what about last March. I never really followed the indie scene before that. I was just a bit of WWE here and there, but I mean, to actually watch, or when I start watching these, seeing those two men that I've really followed closely in these scenes, to see them actually get onto the main event roster, it's probably why I'm pretty biased in that regard. But as I say, seeing them both at Wrestler Progress separately in single matches, and then seeing them develop from sort of onto NXT, becoming this brilliant tag team, probably having one of the best tag team matches I've seen in recent years against the Revival. I think that feud will be insane.
And all for a team that was thrown together, Nick.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Big Daddy.
Alright, so we'll move on to the future of the UK Championship and British Strong Style. Firstly, did you enjoy the UK tournament in January? Sorry, Oliver.
Yeah, it was quality, wasn't it? Really. I'm trying to remember all the details, but I think there was like six people out of the 16 that were from the Midlands.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. I first saw Joseph Connors in September 2007, so it was good seeing him on an international stage. Dawn Maloney Dawn and Maloney are from my home city of Birmingham, so I was cheering them on. Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, from Wolverhampton area, so. It was just really cool to see six Midlanders, kind of go after the title. Tyler Bate was amazing. Pete Dunne against Mark Andrews was a really good match, and the final was Pete Dunne against Tyler Bate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was a fantastic emotionally invested match, because obviously I'm wanting Pete Dunne to win. Because he's a Brummie, and Tyler Bate stole it in the end. So it was a really good tournament. It was a great way to off the WWE UK, side of things. And from there, I hoped they would have a show in place in months. And it's kind of September now. And,
I was going to come on to how do you feel the UK Championship's been booked so far?
Is that for me or Nick?
Well, either of you.
I like the way it's been integrated with NXT, and obviously, I'm not sure who said it earlier, if it was you or Nick, but the NXT TakeOver Chicago match is one of WWE's matches of the year, if not the match of the year. Mm. It was absolutely out of this world.
Yeah, I think if they put it down to a fans vote, up to now, fans will probably pick the SummerSlam main event.
Yeah, I think the SummerSlam main event probably has beaten that. But that says it all, though. You were talking about Brock Lesnar, Joe Strowman, and Reigns beating Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. So I think to compete them together, I think that's it. That match, incredible. I still get goosebumps thinking about it. I remember just speaking to Tyler and Pete at the week after, and just sort of those people almost crying to them, saying how proud they did the UK scene, because they really just put the UK on the map. And to get that much ovation, they got like a standing ovation mid-match, didn't they?
Yeah.
Chance of UK. And again, listening to Tuesday Night George and Smallman, but like I'm plugging that podcast more than I am. Listening to that podcast, just listening, apparently, because they were all the owners of Progress were at the SummerSlam weekend. Apparently, when they did the tapings for NXT before NXT TakeOver, apparently the ovation the British guys got, said that they had done, was just insane. Apparently, it was just the people were just loving the Brits.
Mm.
And I think sky's the limit for all that. I think Pete Dunne's special. Well, even all, I think Pete, done Trent Seven. I mean, we'll be catching up on progress in the last chapter. Trent Seven is just absolutely gold on the mic. My favourite quote was he was getting a chant of he was talking about obviously being in NXT, like as his character, like he doesn't really care about progress. And then there was a chant of a pre-show, not match, I don't know what it was, but then he was just like, he was just laughing, saying, "Oh yeah, you can go and you can." He goes, "You've all got a network subscription, so you can go and watch it on the network at any time, you bunch of dogs." Just stuff like that. It just made me absolutely crack up. And then he was obviously trolling about saying that he was like, "We're going to have a Balls Count Anywhere match," when he was picking a stipulation for the match against CCK, Alexander Palace. And then saying, "It's going to be a Balls Count Anywhere match in the ring." I'll be all through the middle, a pretty gold dust like. I think Dunn's the one who really has got the potential to go on and be almost like I think the best UK wrestler of all time. I'm not saying best actual wrestler, but I mean the one who goes on and succeeds the most out of every English wrestler of all time. Because I think obviously it's all been one of you being a great wrestler, but you need to have it as well, don't you? Really, with your attitude and everything, and your whole character base, your promo work and everything. So it's all well and good being an awesome wrestler, but you have to have the it factor as well, and I think he's just got it done. But I think Bate can go and have some insane matches with even some of the current crop. I mean, thinking about him versus Seth Rollins, I mean, wow, that could just be incredible. Even Bate versus Jeff Hardy or Sol Balor, there's so many matches that Bate can go on. And Seven, I think, Seven's quite old, 35, even when he dials it down a bit, even him as a manager of the office, insane WWE manager as well.
Yeah, so you recently saw them at the Riptide Wrestling, as a trio. Tell us a bit about that match.
Sorry, mate, could you repeat that?
So you recently saw them wrestle as a trio at Riptide Wrestling, didn't you?
Well, their match was, I'm not to knock it because it was absolutely hilarious, but the whole match was a bit of a joke, really. You know, it was still good, but it was more quite funny. It did get out of hand a bit.
Well, they were against Colt Cabana and the world's cutest tag team, so.
Yeah, it was. I'll start off with when they came out. They came out to Triple H's 1999 theme tune. So they came out to that, which was brilliant. Then they started twedging. They started pantsing the referee and stuff. But then the edge of the match, it was quite cool. Like, they did have good spots. I don't think any of them wanted to go near Joey Ryan's penis. But it was a good match. My favourite ever Strong Star match was I've never actually seen all three of them perform live together, actually, in a six-man together, but I mean, Pete Dunne and Seven versus the London Riots, both matches I've seen against them both times were incredible. Sorry, London Riots, obviously, don't get upset, listeners. Strangler Davis, you beep! But no, they are a quality trail. I still love the fact that you sold me on it, Chris, when you said about that. There's 5% rumours of them being the ones that attack Breezango.
Yeah,
that would just make my year.
Oliver, do you think they'd work as a heel trio in the WWE?
Definitely, I think, especially if Triple H is backing them up as well, or even on screen occasionally. I think it would 100% work.
I can't see why not.
Again, it could be me being absolutely deluded.
I don't think they're the ones that have attacked Breezango, though. I think now.
No, they're obviously not. It's me and my dream.
Yeah, I think that will be revealed as the authors of pain.
Well, we discussed. Yeah. I don't. Yeah, it's a special show. We don't want to discuss that right now. We can talk about it maybe at a future show. Right, so
they'll be able to work as a trio and to bring it back to the original point.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been introduced on the network. Dunn and Bate had a standing ovation at NXT Chicago. They had a great response for the WWE UK title tournament, the three of them. So if introduced by a Triple H as Triple H's heavies or something like that to stop, say, Joe getting to Triple H or, you know, that kind of thing, maybe. Because way back when Joe said, Triple H doesn't control me. Something along those lines, they would definitely work as a trio. The only problem is Bate is
a wavy face.
You know, Yeah, he's represented as a hero, so he's Trent Seven, and Dunn's obviously a villain, isn't he? So how you'd be able to turn those two around, that would be, you know, something that they'd have to take under consideration. But it's a cool idea. It would be great for the UK fans if, you know, British Strong Style was represented in the WWE or NXT, but I'm not sure they can get around that hurdle of Bate being, you know, different to Seven, and Bate and Seven being different to Dawn at this moment in time.
Mm. So, would you like to see a WWE, a UK-based WWE show?
Oh, absolutely. You know, just imagine what that would do for the, you know, local scene in the Midlands, in London, in the Northwest, in Scotland. Everyone's got an, you know, achievable aim. It's all, you know, it's no longer, oh, I can't get to WWE because I'm not what they're looking for. If it was a WWE UK show, or if there was a touring WWE UK kind of company, then the only reason you're not in the company is because of, you know, it's probably going to be because of yourself.
Yeah, I'd like it if it was if it was on par with NXT, so it's a developmental to get to the main roster. I wouldn't like it just to be like two or five lives or separate. You're British, so you stay on the show.
I agree with that, yeah. I'd like it to almost be like the English version of NXT.
Yeah. Well, in the beginning,
I fucking agree with that.
Yeah, in the beginning, I'll probably start off as, like, monthly supercards between, like, Evolve, Progress, ICW on the network.
Well, there's still talk of that, but, I mean, again, I've mentioned them again, but whenever people question, ask Jim Glenn or John Bridie, the owners of Progress, they just completely deny all of it. Just, I know they probably would, but knowing them, for they seem like genuine guys. I think they'll genuinely, if there was interest, I think they would say. They don't really need to look. So, no. But they just say, no, I mean, there's absolutely nothing at this moment in time with that.
Have you guys heard the news tonight?
No.
I've got some breaking news.
PCW have signed up with that new free sport TV show in the UK.
I've heard something. I didn't read into it.
Yeah, they're going to be doing monthly pay-per-views starting from end of October.
Ah, that'll be good. Yeah, that's it. With my idea, I'd have like super cards like once a month on the network, and then you could bring in like Jack Gallagher and Noam Dar to make special appearances, and then maybe occasionally they bring in like the likes of Drew and who else will call him, Matt Galloway, McIntyre, and like Sheamus and Finn Balor occasionally, just to pop it to make special appearances.
I think in terms of what they did with Noam Dar with the ICW show, he turned up for Shugsy's house party, I think it was, in like the end of July.
Yeah.
That would be quite cool to do that every once in a while. But it's been said that, can't think, one of the competitors from PCW can't be on the show because of the WWE UK contract.
Oh, right.
But I can't think of the name. I think it's Tyson T-Bone, but I'm not 100% sure.
Alright, I wouldn't expect them to have got signed.
On my Twitter, if you're interested in checking them out. twitter.com/Bromion.
I've got one more question on this bit. So you both quite regularly go to events in your area. Are there any wrestlers from these shows that you'd like to see on a UK-based WWE show who haven't yet signed for WWE?
Great question.
I was at the show on Friday night, and there was a couple of guys that jumped out at me. Born to Fly, TJ Sky, is like a, you know, high-flying cruiserweight, but you can get emotionally invested in his matches.
Yeah.
So I think he could be quite a good addition to any, not necessarily WWE, but, you know, WWE, UK, sorry, but any local British wrestling show, he could definitely go to WWE UK. And another one that jumped out at me as well is the outlaw Jesse Jones. Mm. He's he's got a good build, good wrestling skills, and he's young enough to keep keep improving and get better and better. Yeah. So yeah, those are the two that jump out at me right now.
Yeah, Nick.
Well, probably quite a blatantly obvious one, potentially. Travis Banks.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got a match of Pete Dunne for the Progress title on Saturday, or Sunday, sorry. So he's one of the blatantly obvious ones. He's had a great year. He just gets better and better whenever I watch him.
Definitely Travis Banks times a million. I completely agree with that.
I think he always goes to the trials whenever they're, when they do the WWE trials, when they're Raw over in London or. Or have you? There's always pictures on Twitter so that he's there doing the press ups for everyone. So I think it's definitely a matter of when he's in WWE or on the UK shows as well. And with Progress having such a good connection with WWE, it's probably blatantly obvious that is the case as well. Yes, as well. I suppose Mark Andrews has been on the shows before.
He's already signed up, hasn't he, Nick?
Yeah, there's another good one.
I've got one more.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll think of my one.
Yeah, you take some time to think, Nick. I'll Chris Brooks. Yeah, he's such an amazing, cocky, arrogant villain, and picks his spots in matches and stuff. And it's just something. I saw him do this in a Shikara Fight Club Pro dual show Anniversario, last May, and he was doing it against Tyler Bate, and the fans were just so angry at him, and he was just tremendous in that role. He's got the height, and I'd love to see him in WWE UK. I mean, even to see him in NXT or the WWE would be pretty cool as well, because he's a good guy and, pretty tremendous wrestler.
Yeah, I like Liverpool's number one wrestler, Zach Gibson. I think he's really good. And Nathan Cruz is also really... I love him in Next Gen.
I think another guy that I like, but I think whether his character will get very far, but I love Jack Sexsmith. I think whenever I watch him wrestle, he's got something better as it's going on. He's got heart as well. I mean, the way he wrestles through injuries as well is incredible. I think Sexsmith is certainly one to look out for as well. And Pastor William Eva as well.
Mm.
I think he's a great wrestler as well. I mean, one of my favourite ever, probably my favourite ever live wrestling moment was when he cashed in his equipment, like the WWE's Money in the Bank, but it's the Natural Progression series that Progress have. He cashed in that and won the Pro Wrestling title, beating Mighty Skrull once at a Progress show, and that was insane. So yeah, they're underrated wrestlers, and even going down further down the line, people have seen the Brighton show as well. They've never even been on Progress before. I think Spike Trevin, I think he's come through the Progress school. I think he seems quality. He's got a good gimmick as well going for him. And Lord Gideon Grey as well.
Mm. Yeah.
And I haven't seen him wrestle, but I think this character would be amazing on WWE UK TV. Savvy Sid Scala. He does the Only for Balls and Horses kind of, Barbin Hunter kind of gimmick.
Yeah.
I think that would, I reckon that would translate really well, because obviously, I bet all three of us are Only Fools and Horses fans.
I loved it when I was younger. It's my granddad's favourite.
So seeing something like that would, I reckon that would be a ratings thing, in all honesty. You could get anyone around the TV for that, grandmas, granddads, dads, mums. If he was on the show, he might lead to ratings. I'm not sure about the wrestling skills, but as a character, he's fantastic from what I've seen.
Sunset flip, wait a minute, two, that's it. He beat him. I can't believe it. One of the greatest matches of all time has just taken place here at SummerSlam. The new Intercontinental Champion, the British Bulldog.
All right, unfortunately, Nick has had to leave us, so Before we announce the top five British wrestlers who have won championships in the WWE, shall we discuss your first book, Oliver? So, One Man's Explorations of British Wrestling. What was the inspiration behind the book?
Basically, it's, you know, I'd gone on to the UK scene and kind of gone around the UK between, you know, 2007 and 2009. But the actual book itself was when I first heard about British wrestling being talked on TalkSport radio in the UK.
Yeah.
All the way through to the end of 2007 for the first book. So the inspiration was just how did I come across British wrestling and what did I think about it. You know, my synopsis on the back of the book, it says, you know, Doug Williams, Wonder Kid Johnny Storm and the Phoenix Jody Fleisch are the reason that I wanted to watch British wrestling. Mm. And I wanted to use that as a launch pad to show that, you know, this British wrestling was as good as the American style, the Japanese style, the Mexican style and beyond, really. And that's what the quest was about. You know, the two-year quest and the time before that, really.
So all the shows you reviewed, ones you went to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From 2006 to the end of 2007 in the book, that those are the shows that I went to. So, yeah. There's the ones at the beginning and the ones that I'd seen or I'd heard about or I'd watched on DVD, but from 2006's 1PW 1 year anniversary show through to, you know, the end of 2007 are the ones that I watched live and wrote about live and put together. Yeah.
That's it. How often do you go to shows?
I've been going to shows sporadically since 2009, really. Lack of money and just needing a kind of to step back and reassess things. Has meant that I've gone to a few different shows, ICW, Fight Club Pro, Kamikaze Pro, Youngblood Wrestling was the Friday night show that I alluded to earlier. Just different bits and pieces, since that time, really, because it's difficult because, you know, money's tight and that kind of thing, really. I kind of focused my energies on WWE after 2009. But in terms of the book, I went over to Nottingham to a Norton British Wrestling show. I went to Wolverhampton for Legends Wrestling League. I'd gone to Cardiff for Celtic Wrestling, 1PW in Doncaster. You can see from there, I went all over the UK.
Yeah.
AWW, Anti-Watershed Wrestling, Alternative Wrestling World was in my hometown, home city of Birmingham. I just went to any and all wrestling shows because I was dedicated to proving that it was British wrestling was as good as style of wrestling as anywhere in the world. And I went to the Ring of Honor wrestling shows as well, Unified and the two Liverpool shows in 2007.
Yeah.
And I kind of wrote about the British wrestlers that were on those shows, so as to not take away from the British wrestling style of the things.
Right, and you can find links to both Oliver's books in the description below this podcast. Alright, so we'll go on to the who are the top five British wrestlers who've won titles in the WWE. So over the last few weeks, our forum members at the V2 Forum have been voting on who the best wrestler who's won a title is. There was 11 wrestlers who were eligible who have won championships in the WWE throughout their career. I didn't include wrestlers from the Republic of Ireland, Sheamus, Finn Balor, Becky Lynch. So, voted in at number 5 was...
I'm afraid I've got some bad news!
Bad news!
Bad, bad,
bad,
bad,
bad,
bad news!
The 5-time Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett's, you know, one of the biggest, you know, errors of judgment in you know, WWE. You know, dating back to Nexus. You know, they should have won that SummerSlam match.
It's so obvious they should have won that. Just even if they won that match, and then lost a similar match at Survivor Series. Just to have it make it the summer of Nexus would have made two or three of them really big stars, I reckon.
Well, especially exactly. Wade Barrett. I mean, I don't know if you saw the clip on YouTube when he talked about it.
And Wade Barrett talked about it.
Wasn't it right
up to possibly the day they were meant to win, but then John Cena changed the end or something?
And John Cena has come out and said that, you know, out of all the things that he's done in wrestling, that was the one time he might have made a mistake.
Yeah.
But I think just in general, you know, they should have won in SummerSlam. And then if you look at how the how his career went after that, you know, when he took on John Cena and he took on Randy Orton and stuff, there was enough chances to make him the first, you know, WWE British champion, and they really missed the boat with Wade Barrett.
And even when they tried to settle him with a bad gimmick and Bad News Barrett, he made it brilliant.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Bad News Barrett was money again, yeah. And they kind of squandered that, didn't they? And you know, for him to go out the way he did, it was a pretty cool visual, but. Yeah, he should still be with the company, and he should be in the upper echelons of the WWE, and it's a shame that he isn't, really.
He got the curse of winning the King of the Ring. Once you win King of the Ring, you don't have to win matches anymore. So.
But nonetheless, you know, take that for example. King of the Ring was a star-making show, and now it's not even on the agenda. You could bring Raw and SmackDown together. For that show, and you know, you could make it what it was once. You know what it was once. It was a star-making show, and you know, we've talked about the cruiserweights earlier. You want to integrate the cruiserweights into the main roster. Why not have a qualifying match on 205 Live and that kind of thing, and then you've integrated a cruiserweight onto the main roster in a King of the Ring tournament. Obviously, it's got to be on a pay-per-view. It's not enough for it to be on a network over a couple of nights. So, King of the Ring is one of my favourite shows. And I wish they'd have brought it back properly.
Yeah, they're going to do it properly like they used to in the 90s. But all three matches on the same night.
Yeah, exactly like when Bret Hart won in 1993.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it needed to be on.
Right, in at number 4 was... the current NXT champion, Drew McIntyre. He's also a one-time IC champion, and he also won the tag team championships at Cody Road.
Yeah, I can understand that. And like we said earlier in the conversation, he's got all the tools, hasn't he? He's got all the tools to be, a future WWE champion, and that's that's where I think he'll get to in the future.
Yeah, so when he left WWE, so 2013 he left. He looked like a boy, but he came back. Now he has the beard, he has the long hair, doesn't shave his chest like most wrestlers, and he seems to have put on 2 stone in muscle mass. That's what he was. And he just looks like a man now, whereas before he looked like a pretty boy.
I think the key thing is it's just experience. And like I said earlier, in terms of he had companies, he put them on his back, and he did, you know, he defended the titles around the world, and that's what I'm seen by WWE, and that's the reason he's in NXT, isn't he? So if he keeps doing what he's doing, then he, you know, the sky's the limit for Drew McIntyre.
Right, in at number 3 was. Current cruiserweight champion, Mean Neville. He's also a former NXT champion and won the tag team championship, the NXT tag team championship twice with Oliver Gray and then with Corey Graves. We've mentioned it before, but he's had a brilliant year.
Absolutely, like I said, you know, it's just, you know, you just need somebody to go up against him. Aries and Neville had a, you know, quality series of matches. That was the opportunity to probably switch the cruiserweight title. They didn't take it for whatever reason.
I did like the way he reacted to losing the title, though. When he came in, he was all sweating, he looked drained, like he lost part of himself when he lost the title.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing, to be honest. Because that's how you kind of should be.
Yeah.
If that's what it means to you to be that champion, then you should feel like a lost, you know, lost soul. And he played that off brilliantly. It was really good.
It does look seem that they're trying to bring in a big name to face him at WrestleMania, because there was rumours of trying to bring in Rey Mysterio, but that fell through. And now they've signed Leo Rush.
Yeah. But like I said earlier, you know, Johnny Gargano, I know what Nick said regarding Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano. They're definitely got unfinished business. But if Ciampa's going to be out until next year, and you need somebody to fill that spot and to have a, you know, a 6-month feud with Neville, I mean, bring Ciampa back at WrestleMania next year and either stop Gargano from winning the Cruiserweight title or cost him, and yeah, then you go back into that feud and everything's absolutely fine, isn't it? I mean, Ciampa and Gargano are going to be tied to each other like Owens and Zayn for the rest of their career. So, you know, I mean that in a good way. And you're going to see amazing matches. So there is a way around it. If you want people to watch 205 Live outside of myself and you and you know, the other people who do, but to make it appeal to the masses, stick Johnny Gargano on there.
It probably has shot up the ratings since Enzo's appeared, but I think it'll be found out sooner or later. It was wrestling skill against the other guys on that show. I'm surprised they didn't make Cedric Alexander a bigger deal. No, he was injured for a bit.
Well, one of my favourites was Grand Metalik from the Cruiserweight Classic, and then he was, much like Gargano, introduced to the crowd, and then you didn't see him for 6 months.
Mm.
And then if you look at, I haven't seen 205 Live from last week yet, but if you look at his high-flying skills, it's like watching Mysterio in his prime, isn't it? So, you know, maybe that's the route to go down. Maybe Grand Metalik against Neville.
Yeah, it'll be an excellent match, I reckon.
It'd definitely be an excellent match. But just to bring it back to Enzo for a second, he, you know, he can talk a crowd in, can't he? You know, Chris Jericho said it recently about it's not about someone's skill, and then if he goes up against Neville, it's a it's a test of Neville's abilities to bring Enzo up. So that's what that's about, really. But yeah, it'll be interesting.
I could see Enzo winning the title in a multi-man match, and then Neville destroying him in a return match.
I could see that happening because of of what they're trying to do. It was just weird with the Akira Tozawa kind of thing because they were building something up, and then it's been said that the only reason the Cruiserweight title changed hands at SummerSlam was because on Raw was because they wanted something surprising to happen on the night, and then obviously it changed back to Neville at SummerSlam. So.
All right, so back to the list.
Yeah, sorry.
Right, so number two was... British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. Is what, probably, one from when we were younger.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so he's won the Intercontinental once, the European Championship twice, Hardcore Championship twice, and the US Tag Team Champions twice, once with... Dynamite Kid, and then the other one with the great late Owen Hart.
Absolutely. A funny, slightly tragic story about me and the British Bulldog was he was about 20 minutes away from me signing autographs.
Yeah.
And my young self thought I had enough time, and by the time I decided I was going to go and see him, he'd finish for the day, but I could have met the British Bulldog. That's a bit of a regret. I really wish I was there for the Shawn Michaels British Bulldog match at One Night Only in Birmingham. That would have been an amazing experience, just to take in the hatred towards Shawn Michaels for beating the Bulldog, and then obviously the only other kind of dream situation would be to see Bret Hart against British Bulldog at Wembley Stadium at SummerSlam
which
night
probably, which was probably the match you'll be most remembered for.
No, absolutely. But the match between Bulldog and Bret Hart at In Your House 5, I think it was, in December 95, different kind of match, but it's really, really good. If you haven't seen it, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, I've gone back and watched all the In Your Houses, but I can't remember that match off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's an amazing match.
A little known fact about British Bulldog was during Undertaker's first reign, the one that lasted only a couple of days, he was the only person he defended the title against.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
I didn't know that.
So he won it on the Saturday, defended against the Bulldog on the Monday, and then lost it on the Tuesday to Hulk Hogan.
The Tuesday in Texas show.
Yeah, on the Monday he defended it against Bulldog at a house show.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Right, and our number one is, everyone got fingers crossed for Layla. I know they have.
He's a man.
Commissioner of NXT.
I was going to say, we should have sung that, really. the only thing I can think with that was when he went up against Daniel Bryan on a WWE, Superstars, and they put on that ring music. He was supposed to come out to his new one, and that was hilarious. But and then he had an amazing match with one of his proteges, I don't know if I said that right, but Regal, possibly out of all five, probably this side the Bulldog, he should have been WB champion.
Yeah.
Perfect character from the snobby Brits as he, you know, as he kind of became. His in-ring skills are, you know, unmatched. He can talk on the microphone.
I saw my house show in, I want to say 2009, possibly 2008. He beat Carlito in a match, but then he'd cut a promo after it, thanking everyone. But in his Lancashire accent, looks deadly. he didn't put his posh accent on. Jonas' WWE career, he's won the tag team championship 4 times with Lance Storm twice, Eugene once, and Tajiri once. He won the European Championship 4 times, the Hardcore Championship 5 times, and he's a 2-time Intercontinental Champion, and also King of the Ring, and then he kind of crowned himself, basically.
Yeah, like I said, he had a feud with Triple H way back when, that should have been the catapult to the main event. The feud he had with CM Punk, including the aforementioned King of the Ring.
Mm.
You know, Regal had it all, really. He was in a position where he almost lost it all, and then he had, matches that kind of brought him back into, WB favour, and, doing a tremendous job as the general manager of NXT. He had amazing matches with Cesaro and Cassius Ohno, I believe, and he had a really top-notch feud against Dean Ambrose in Florida Championship Wrestling before that became NXT. So, yeah, I can understand why William Regal's number one, because he's kind of got it all.
So thanks for everyone who voted in the poll. Thanks for joining me tonight, Oliver. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Absolutely. What Nick said, I'd be glad to come back and talk No Mercy with you guys in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, so before you want to go, do you want to plug your social media again?
Yeah, it's twitter.com/Brumial. Facebook is facebook.com/AFansPerspectiveUK. Instagram is instagram.com/Brumial.
And as I said before, you can find links to both Oliver's books on Amazon in the description below this. And huge thanks for listening, and hope to see you again at our No Mercy review. Good night. He's a man.